WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Taxi Driver is one of 25 films that were added this week to the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. The registry, which was established in 1988, now has 150 films that have been selected for preservation at the Library of Congress. On this archive edition of Fresh Air, we have a 1988 interview with Paul Schrader, who wrote the screenplay for Taxi Driver, which was directed by Martin Scorsese. Schrader also wrote the screenplays for Scorsese's Raging Bull and The Last Temptation of Christ, and directed the films Blue Collar, Hardcore, American Gigolo, Patty Hearst, The Comfort of Strangers, and Light Sleeper. He directed a new HBO movie called Witch Hunt, which premieres on HBO December 10th. Taxi Driver was Schrader's first collaboration with Scorsese. After Schrader saw Scorsese's film Mean Streets, he knew he wanted Scorsese to direct Taxi Driver. Schrader told me what he saw in Mean Streets that made him think Scorsese had the right sensibility for Taxi Driver.
It was just a passion, you know, and also the perversity, you know, someone who is willing to grab the thing, put it between his teeth, bite hard and run, you know. I don't want to use words we can't use on language, but someone who has the guts to do it.
Now, in Taxi Driver, your screenplay is about a lonely, alienated, psychopathic taxi driver. You've described the taxi as the perfect metaphor for loneliness, a man driving around the city in a steel coffin. And his alienation erupts into a bloody killing spree at the end of the movie, which he thinks of, in heroic terms, he thinks he's helping to clean the city of the pimps and the filth. I want to play from, go ahead.
What's interesting about that is, in the film, he fixates on two women, one of whom he can have and one of whom he can't, and of course he wants the one he can't and doesn't want the one he can. And out of this dilemma, he decides to kill the father figure of the good girl, who is a politician. And when he cannot do that, he fails, he kills the father figure of the bad girl, who's the prostitute. And what's interesting, in his mind, there's really not much difference. They're both, there's these competing father figures. It's just that in society's mind, of course, he becomes a hero because one of them was a pimp and not a politician.
Sounds a little Freudian. Were you in Freudian analysis at the time?
No, subsequently.
Okay. Well, you wrote the journal, the diary, for Travis Bickle, the taxi driver, which De Niro just gives a brilliant reading of in the movie. I want to play some of that, and this is from the record, so it's excerpts edited together from the film. Mm-hmm. So this is Robert De Niro over a score by Bernard Herrmann with the screenplay by my guest Paul Schrader from Taxi Driver.
May 10th. Thank God for the rain, which has helped wash away the garbage and the trash off the sidewalks. I'm working long hours now, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. It's a long hustle, but it keeps me real busy. I can take in $350 a week. Sometimes even more when I do it off the meter. All the animals come out at night. Buggers, queens, fairies, dopers, junkies. Sick, venal. Someday a real rain will come and wash all this scum off the streets. I go all over. I take people to the Bronx, Brooklyn. I take them to Harlem. I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. It does to some. Some won't even take spooks. Don't make no difference to me. Each night when I return the cab to the garage, I have to clean the back seat. Some nights I clean off the blood. 12 hours of work and I still can't sleep. Damn. Days go on. And they don't end. All my life needed was a sense of someplace to go. I don't believe that one should devote his life to morbid self-attention. I believe that someone should become a person like other people.
The tone of writing in that seems so perfect for the character. How did you know, not being a psychopath yourself, how did you know the tone of voice to get for this? It just seems just right.
Well, I wrote that script in 10 days, in two drafts. It jumped out of my head like an animal. And so it was a really cri de coeur. It was a cry from my heart. I've fallen into a difficult period in Los Angeles where I was living in my car and just sort of driving around and having a lot of trouble sleeping. And finally I got a pain in my stomach, which turned out to be an ulcer, and I went in the hospital. And then while I was talking to a nurse in emergency, I realized I hadn't spoken to anyone in several weeks. And when I was in the hospital, I realized that that's what I was. I was like a taxi driver. I was like this person who was floating around in this car. And I got out of the hospital, and I wrote that script, like I said, in 10 days.
Let's get back to the tone that you actually wrote it in. There's something almost Old Testament about the tone. Someday a real rain will come along and wash all the scum off the streets. But that's that apocalyptic sense.
Yeah, I really, you know, that was my first real script. I'd done one thing before. And I didn't know how you were supposed to write scripts yet.
Did it scare you that you were able to so authentically and so intuitively capture a psychopathic voice?
Well, you know, it scared me that I was at that place at that time. I mean, the person who wrote that script is long gone, and I don't even know if I would recognize him if I saw him.
What was your reaction when Hinckley said that he was he had seen Taxi Driver and he wanted to impress Jodie Foster by attempting to assassinate
the
president?
Sort of, I was in New Orleans at the time scouting locations, and it came over the radio that this kid had tried to kill Reagan. And he was from Colorado, sort of a white bread kid. And I said to the person sitting next to me, I said, it's one of those taxi driver kids. And I got back to the hotel, and the FBI was waiting for me. And in fact, it was one of those taxi driver kids. The film didn't create them. They exist before the film and after the film. And they attach themselves to many things. It's just actually sort of rare that they attach themselves to a good film. More likely they attach themselves to things like advertising.
Mm-hmm. You said that you are no longer the same person who wrote Taxi Driver, that you don't really have those feelings anymore. At that time, I think you were really motivated by certain demons, by alienation, by loneliness. You're now married, you're a father, and I figured loneliness wouldn't have the same pull on you that it did then. Are there different things that motivate you now in your writing, or even different demons that drive you?
Yes, certainly. And you miss those old demons, you know, boy, because those are powerful engines and they really drive you hard. It was actually easier to write then because you had no choice. You were just trying to keep the demons from swallowing you up. So today it's a little more difficult. You have to use your imaginative powers and your creative skills to a greater degree.
What kind of compromise do you feel that you have been or have had to make in your career between writing screenplays that fit your vision, that communicate the ideas that you're interested in, and you really do communicate ideas in your screenplays, and making something that's actually saleable?
Well, I mean, I want to communicate. You know, this is the movie business is the business of mass communication. If you're not interested in mass communication, you shouldn't be in this business. So, you know, whatever your personal visions are, you have to put them in the seat alongside the idea of mass communication. So it's just not possible to say I don't care who sees this movie. And so I try to think of things in commercial terms. You know, how will people want to see and hear this? And so I don't avoid that. However, it is not possible to escape the idiosyncrasies of your own psychology. I remember when I did Cat People years ago, and I said to myself, now I'm going to do a film that is not personal. I'm going to do a genre movie, a horror movie, a special effects film. It's not going to be about me at all. Well, I look back now at that film, I think it's more personal than any of the others.
In what ways?
I just feel that the character of the zookeeper is really me. And when I set out to make the film, I didn't think that at all. So you can't really escape yourself.
We're featuring a 1988 interview from our archives with Paul Schrader. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is screenwriter and director Paul Schrader. Schrader was brought up in a strict Calvinist home. In fact, as a young man, he had planned to become a minister. I spoke with him in 1988.
Now, there used to be a ban in your church against seeing movies. Does that ban still exist?
No. I think that they have made that a matter of individual conscience now. It banned what they called worldly amusements, which included things like card playing and smoking and drinking and dancing and theater attendance. And this came out of Prohibition days. The ban was actually instituted in 1928. And, I once, as a child, rather impassionately queried my mother about this. I think I wanted to see some Disney film. And she said to me, it doesn't matter. The quality of the film doesn't matter. It's the industry that is evil. And so I think that was the position.
Did you have a sense of what you were missing?
No. And I'm actually very happy about having missed all those.
Bad. No, really? Come on.
Well, yeah, because, really? Because you know, you are imprinted as an artist or as a person by, you know, how you come to a specific field. And I came to films as a college student, and the first films I really saw or paid serious attention to were the films by Bergman or Buñuel, Antonioni, Bresson. And that was my original imprinting in films. And my peers and Coivals, you know, were imprinted with Westerns and Disney films. And when they say, I want to make the movies that I loved when I was a child, they think about those films. And when I say that, I don't think about those films. I think about, you know, the kind of childhood background and about the films I first came to love. I came to films as an adult and then later learned to love them as a child. So it has given me a unique perspective and a unique place in this business, and I've never really worried about anyone doing what I'm doing because no one has my perspective.
What's the first film you saw and what effect did it have on you?
Well, actually, the first film was a Disney film. Was Absent-Minded Professor. And I snuck...
Is that the one with Jerry Lewis or is that the Nutty Professor?
That's the Nutty Professor. This is the one with Fred McMurray.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And the one about Flubber.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I snuck into the balcony, and I sat there watching this, and I was wondering what all this fuss was about. And then about a year later, a friend of mine took me to see Wild in the Country with Elvis Presley and Tuesday Weld. And I sat there, and I realized, aha, this is why they don't want me to go. Here's the problem.
And what effect did that have on you, seeing that?
Well, I had developed a mad crush on Tuesday Weld.
And did that make you feel bad?
No, it made me want to see more movies.
Yeah, so what made you so passionate about movies?
Well, you know, it was a very luxurious forbidden fruit. I mean, not only could you be a rebel and do something that upset your elders, but you could also wear the mantle of respectability while you were doing it. It was like having your cake and eating it. It was a rare opportunity, you know, to be a rebel without it, you know, having to do things like break into cars.
Several of your films, like Patty and Hardcore, are in their way about leaving the family and about breaking away, either voluntarily or involuntarily, from what your life has been. When you left your home and when you broke away from the church, was that a wrenching experience for you?
No. I mean, it was more like the way a bullet must feel when it's finally discharged from a gun.
You want to explain that?
Well, I've been waiting a long time to get out of there, and I came out with a bang. you know, and I took off and didn't look back.
Paul Schrader recorded in 1988. He wrote the screenplay for Taxi Driver, which was one of 25 films added this week to the Library of Congress National Film Registry. Schrader directed a new film for HBO called Witch Hunt, which premieres December 10th. This is Fresh Air.